sacrifice you, sacrifice me. The altar of democracy, the altar of democracy, the altar of democracy. Sacrifice who? Sacrifice what? Sacrifice you. Sacrifice me. The altar of democracy. The altar of democracy.
It takes a certain strength of character to be able to stand up and say, I don't believe in the norm. This is actually what I believe. I know it's completely different and out of whack with what most people are doing. There's so many more undiscovered stories of what KBOO has done in people's lives, what it has meant to Portland. This radio station has had a ripple effect that we don't even know.
Start writing your KBOO story and see what ripples out. Come to our next volunteer orientation on Wednesday, May 21st from 7 to 9 p.m. at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here at your community radio station, KBOO.
Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up on KBOO, we've got an interview. Kathleen will be interviewing Dr. Reverend Edward Pinckney, a leader in the fight against corporations. He led an effort to recall Benton Harbor Mayor James Hightower. He now faces up to 25 years for election fraud charges. Then at 9:30, we'll hear about Los Seis of Boulder, Colorado, where six Chicano University of Colorado student activists in May 1974, they were killed in two car bombs. No one has ever been indicted for their deaths. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints rebroadcasts a speech given last winter by the theoretical physicist and Pacifica radio host Dr. Michio Kaku entitled The Future of the Mind. And at 11 on The Food Show, Margaret Gray, author of the book Labor and Locavore, talks about labor issues in regional agricultural systems. Michael Weberman, executive director of the Farm Animal Rights Movement, talks about unethical practices perpetuated by the meat industry, and we will visit Heart to Heart Farms from Sherwood, Oregon. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support in our spring membership drive. You guys did great. If you missed it, you can still contribute. Just go to kboo.fm on the web and click where it says Donate Today. And now we're going to move right on to Kathleen Stevenson speaking with Reverend Edward Pinckney. Kathleen?
Thank you, Tammy. On the line from Benton Harbor, Michigan, is Reverend Edward Pinckney. He is a longtime activist for human rights and against corporations like Whirlpool. He is the founder of BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization. Reverend Pinckney, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I tell you, it's an honor and a privilege to be on your show.
Well, thank you. Now, you are under house arrest at home, and you're banned from using your computer after being arrested on April 25th and charged with various counts that could add up to 25 years in prison. Can you talk about what happened and why you were arrested?
Absolutely. Let me start with how all this started. On April 24th, it was my wife's birthday, and I'm taking her out for an early dinner. And we left here about 11:30. But before I can get to my destination, the sheriff's department and the SWAT team had surrounded my house. They said there was 30 to 40 law enforcement agents around my house. They had blocked off the streets. Nobody could get in and nobody could get out. So the first thing I did, I finished my dinner. It was my wife's birthday. I didn't want to ruin her birthday more than anything else. So I sat down. We had dinner. When I got through, I went to my attorney's office. He called the prosecutor. He told the prosecutor that I was going to turn myself in Monday morning. He said, no, sir. We're going to get him today. We want him now. So the first thing my attorney said, well, he haven't killed anybody. I mean, what's the rush? It's only recall petitions. He said, no, we're going to get him. And here's what they was doing. Now, listen to this. A squad team, the police department, was going all over Benton Harbor looking for my car. They was everywhere. You know how they'd be zooming around trying to find, he got to be over here, he got to be there. And I could not believe it. So the very next morning, I turned myself in. And the first thing the judge said, this is the worst crime in history. This is a hideous crime. He said, this is the most hideous crime I have ever heard of. You recalling the mayor and had enough signatures to do it. He said, this is terrible. So he said, well, I'm going to set bond at $30,000. My attorney said, for recall petitions? He said, he didn't kill nobody. I was thinking maybe they're going to come up with a body or something. So he said, for recall petition, $30,000. I have to be under house arrest 24/7. I cannot use my computer or anything else. He said, no, none of that stuff, which is very unconstitutional, what he's doing. We all know that. But the point is, we have not gotten back in court to discuss it. But here's the reason why we're recalling this mayor. He's a Whirlpool corporate supporter. He don't care about the people. Recently, we put an income tax on the floor, and it was on the ballot. This income tax was so important because 90% of the people that work in the city of Benton Harbor do not live here. So they'll get their check and leave, and we don't have the money does not circulate within the community. So we decided to levy the income tax. This guy, they must have spent over $150,000 to make sure that this income tax didn't pass because the corporations didn't want it. So we decided to recall him.
And that's James Hightower?
Hightower, absolutely. James Hightower. And we were successful at it. And they got mad. Also, here's something that's very, very important that people need to know. We have in the senior PGA here, and Mayor Hightower was running against a Muslim. And they did not want that Muslim mayor to be part of this PGA. He was winning 5 votes to every one of James Hightower. So they had to come up with a strategy in order to stop this election.
What is a PGA?
It's the Professional Golf Association.
Oh, okay.
And when you have it, all the golfers come in, Arnold Palmer, those folks. But they could not have Arnold Palmer and them hanging out with this Muslim. So they went as far as to arrest me and charge me with 5 felonies. Here's what they said. They said that I changed a signature on a recall petition. This is their words. I changed the date on the recall petition, which they know is not true. They brought in a forensic who said, well, this one was changed, this one wasn't. This one was changed, which makes no sense. Why would you change one and not all the rest? So here's what they were saying. But now, here's the good news. We just filed criminal charges against Mayor James Hightower. Just call it charge. What he did, he manufactured the evidence to set aside this election. He went out and got 4 people with the same identical message saying that we deceived them and misrepresented the recall petition. And unfortunate for them, we got a hold of the letters, and then we went out and got a letter from this lady, and she said that he said he sent her husband in to have him force her to sign it. Well, actually, she didn't use the word force. That's a bad word. She said she signed it to appease him. So, in other words, this wasn't true, you're saying. She said, yes. She said she knew it wasn't true, but she just signed it to please him. So now we got problems. Now the prosecutor almost have to take a look at it and find out exactly what happened. She came up with a notarized letter stating that everything, that she was not deceived and was not misrepresented by the Reverend Edward Pinckney or anybody else. So now what we have a problem, a major problem. Will they go out now and arrest the mayor? Matter of fact, we had a press conference on Monday, and the press went and spoke with the prosecutor and told him, I believe you're going to have to do something. So let's see what happens. Let's see, will they arrest the mayor? Because to me, that's a big move. So that's the story.
And maybe you talked about people working in Benton Harbor but not living there. Can you tell us a little bit more about Benton Harbor itself, what it's like, and the role that corporations play there?
Oh, absolutely. Benton Harbor is 70% of the people that live in Benton Harbor is unemployed. 90% live below the poverty level. Benton Harbor is 94% African-American. But right across the river, you have St. Joseph, which unemployment is about 4%. They're probably raised probably less than 5%, which is 98% Caucasian. Whirlpool employs 4,000 people here. Less than 0.5% are from the city of Benton Harbor. They started outsourcing the jobs. They started that in the 90s. And since then, they have drained the city of all its resources. Whirlpool paid no taxes at all. They don't even pay their water bill. And if you challenge them, the first thing come out of their mouth, we'll move. Well, you should move because you're not doing nothing for our city. Whirlpool came up with this golf course, this Jack Nicklaus signature golf course. It costs $10,000 just to be a member. This golf course is surrounded by $500,000 condominiums. And this is what Benton Harbor is like. It is one of the places that's very, very difficult to live. Very difficult. So we have to take a stand together, fight together, and win this war. But here's something that we did to Whirlpool that was so amazing. In the year 2004, we put an international boycott on Whirlpool. We used the word boycott. See, that's a word that people don't like to use, but we used the word boycott, and it circulated. When people heard the word boycott, whether we were successful at it at not getting people to buy stuff is another story. But it reduced their credit rating to a negative. And they were just one step from being junk stock. It was almost a hostile takeover. Matter of fact, they were predicted a hostile takeover. And remember this, Whirlpool is owned by Fred Upton, the U.S. representative. He's in the House.
In Michigan?
Yes. Well, he's a U.S. representative, but he's from Michigan.
Okay.
And this was almost unheard of what we did, and they still feel in the effects of that today. So that's when you talk about Benton Harbor, that's what we're talking about.
I'm speaking with Reverend Edward Pinckney. He's a longtime activist on these issues that he's talking about right now, and he's the founder of BANCO, the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization. Reverend Pinckney, do you want to talk a little bit about that organization? When you talk about that's what we did, was it BANCO and people affiliated or how?
Absolutely. All across the country, the global women, different people, everybody participated. Even in South America, London, you name it, people was all over helping us. But here's what BANCO do. What we do, we court watch. That's what we do. We, every morning, 8:30 in the morning, we're at the courthouse until 12 noon. Every day. Then we go back at 1:30 and stay until 4:30. That way we keep a close watch on this justice system. See, this justice system has to be checked. because that's one of the main problems in these poor communities. When you think about the communities themselves, you think about cities like Benton Harbor, where the poverty is so thick that you can cut it with a knife. So we have issues here. We also, we march, we picket. Matter of fact, this Saturday, we're protesting the PGA. We said the death of democracy is right here in the city of Benton Harbor. The death of democracy is here, and that's what we're fighting. We're one of the few communities that have what they call an emergency manager. Let me tell you what the emergency manager do. When he came to the city of Benton Harbor, he was appointed by the governor, Rick Snyder. They gave him absolute power. Now listen to me closely. Under Public Act 4, the first thing he did was took the mayor's desk. Then we had a decent mayor then. Took his desk and put it in the basement. Then he took the keys to all the other elected officials and told them they couldn't use the office. Then he told them that you can have a meeting. You can take notes. Then you have to end it. You can't vote on anything. Anything you vote on, I will veto it. Here's the deal. He said if everybody in the city of Benton Harbor voted on something, and they voted against, if he voted against it, he wins. What he has done to this city, he has robbed this city of all its resources. We're surrounded by water, and they want this city. But here's the catcher. They was just testing the city of Benton Harbor because they really wanted the city of Detroit. Detroit now has an emergency manager with absolute power.
Mm.
So, and here's the deal. It's not just here in Michigan. They got 172 trained emergency managers to go across the country. They're just testing the water here. They started off with Benton Harbor on the Public Act 4. We went out and got over 230,000 signatures and put it on the ballot and beat that down. Then they came up with one with more teeth, Public Act 436. And that's what we're under right now. It's criminal for what they do here. And the bad part about it, the people won't rise up and understand how important it is to take a stand. Until the people take a stand, we're going to continue in this on this thing, this downward trend. So we're here, and Banco is fighting. We're fighting with all our might.
And so the situation there is the emergency manager is still in place, and he sort of rules over whatever happens in the city.
Well, here's another catcher. We don't gotten rid of two emergency managers. Now we got what they call four emergency managers, a transitional team, they call it. We're worse off today than in 2009 when the emergency manager came here. We're in no services at all. We are in a very, very compromising position.
And
we have to stand tall and do the things that need to be done. So we don't have an emergency manager. We have four. Mm. They call themselves not emergency managers anymore, transitional teams. That's what they call themselves. So that's what we have today.
And what do you think their plans are for Benton Harbor? What do you think they want to see Benton Harbor be?
Well, gentrification is here. They want to drive out all the low-income people, the poor people. They want to drive them completely out and give it a whole new face. That's what they want to do. They want to use the system to replace the people that live here and bring in more people and make this a playground for the very elite.
Hmm. What kind of, you mentioned the demonstration on Saturday. Can you tell us more about that, what that's going to be?
Absolutely. It's about the PGA being here. And the last time we was here, we accumulated maybe we had 2,500 to 5,000 people showed up. But I was leading the day. On Saturday, we're going to have the same type of demonstration, the death of democracy, and we're going to have a casket, the funeral. People going to be lined up doing the things they need to do. And what makes this so important, it sends a message to the world that we're not just sitting around pulling our thumbs and doing nothing and allowing them to take over our city. They have the resource. They have the power. They have all these things. They have all these things in place. But we have to fight back.
And what other ways can people support your actions there in Benton Harbor and beyond?
Well, one thing, we want people to come out, which is the number one thing. The number two thing, my legal defense, I would imagine, is going to cost at least maybe $60,000-$70,000 to fend off these people. Those of you who would like to send money, we are 501c3, you can mail a check to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Let me repeat that. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Or you can go to my website, which is bhbanco.org. bhbanco.org. You can just donate right online. But whatever, $5, $10, $50, $100, $1,000, we need it. We need it in order to fight this monster. We cannot fight this monster without having resources. But our goal is to make sure that we do the things that need to be done.
Now, you're under house arrest. Are you going to be able to go to this demonstration on Saturday?
Well, we're expecting to have a hearing between now and Friday. And if we have the hearing, I'm almost positive I will be able to go. But then again, knowing them, they don't want me there. After all, they're trying to silence me completely. So we have a problem right there. So I'm hoping that I get a chance to get in the courts and they see where they have did wrong. And especially with this mayor, you know, manufacturing evidence to stop this election. I think this gives the whole situation a black eye. And I don't think this county can afford any more black eyes.
Now, one thing we haven't talked about that I read, that one of the areas that Banco and other people are upset about are the actions of the police in Benton Harbor, especially as they relate to African Americans. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, absolutely, because here's one of the things here. What they used to do, and we kind of like neutralize it a little bit, but it's still here. They would make you get out of your car, and they will seek the dogs on you. They will make you pull down your pants. The women's pull up their dress. If they hung on pants, pull down their pants. And if they did, they'll make the dog bite them. And then they'll charge them with resisting arrest. Because who are you going to believe? Most people believe police officers for reasons unknown to me, because they lie all the time. Matter of fact, they're the lyingest people you ever want to meet. Look like they trained to tell a lie. But this is one of the things. Just recently, a guy was tasered to death. You know, people, we don't talk about it. People are beaten, they're arrested. We had a situation where one police officer planted drugs on 300 people. We finally caught him. They sent him to jail for something like 18 months. And everybody else went to jail for 5-6 years. So we have some major issues here. Then here's the bad part. You always talk about you have the FBI, different things like that to come in and fight for you and stand for you. Oh, no, not living. They do not do that here. You know, there's no different level. Once if you're rejected here in the city of Benton Harbor, usually the sheriff will come in and he supports the city, so you have nobody on your side. So all you're doing is fighting the air. You have no recourse here. And that's one of the things that we're dealing with right now. When you talk about a police department, this guy planted drugs on over 300 people, and they knew about it and did nothing. Cared less about it. So we have to make sure that we understand we're heading in the right direction. So there's things that we can do. There's things that we have to do. And we have to take a stand. We got to stop this police department, but we can't stop them unless the people come together. See, now they feel that they got me. They said, well, we got Pinckney pinned down. He's the voice of the city. Not so. We have other people that can take a stand also. So we're doing good. We're doing good. We just staying focused, doing the things we need to do, trying to stop all this police brutality, and moving on to the next level.
What would you like to happen in Benton Harbor? What would you like to see happen now?
Here's what I would like to see happen. First thing, that everything becomes just natural for everybody. Everybody deserves the right to have a job, be able to work, to live their life, not trying to be pushed out of here. Anytime that you have a government that can't feed the people, house their people, then we got a problem, you know. And there should be employment for everybody. There's enough employment here for everybody, but they only hire certain people. So when they only hire certain people, you get 70% of the people that live in one city unemployed. You get 90% of the people living below the poverty level. You get this. All we're asking for is a fair shake. Well, they're not going to give you a fair shake unless you're able to take it. If you can't take it, you won't get it.
Right. And, again, how would people get involved? Is there a website that they should go to find out more about this or work?
Absolutely. They can go to bhbanco.org. That's bhbanco.org. Or you can call me at 269-925-0001. That's 269-925-0001. That's what you can get in touch with me. Go to my website, call me. Whatever you need to do, just get in touch with me, and I'll be glad to talk with you, and we can be glad to take this thing to a whole different level. The key word that I want to give to people today is that you, is all about you. You have to learn to fight back. We have to take a stand. We have to say enough is enough. Until we say that, it's going to continue to be just like it is today. We have to change the way we do business, not allow these corporations to continue sucking the life out of us, and then we crying for jobs and stuff like that. We have to change the way we're doing things. We have to move this thing to a whole different level, and this is something that we can do.
Well, Reverend Edward Pinckney, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about this situation in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and it sounds like it is emblematic of areas of Michigan in general and areas of the country in general. Thank you very much for talking about this.
And thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and a privilege. I go to court May 30th and hoping to go for something about this tether soon, but call me back and I'll give you an update, tell you what happened.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, then.
And I've been speaking with Reverend Edward Pinckney. He is a longtime activist against corporations and for human rights in Benton Harbor, Michigan. He is the founder of Banco, B-A-N-C-O. This is Kathleen Stevenson for Political Perspectives, Part 1. Stay tuned for Part 2 and more public affairs all morning on KBOO Portland.
And coming right up on Political Perspectives, we're going to hear about Los Seis from a program, Sprouts Radio. Los Seis of Boulder, Colorado, were six Chicano University of Colorado student activists in May 1974. They were killed in two car bombs, and no one has ever been indicted for their deaths. Stay tuned at 10 for Chris Andre with Air Cascadia, Flashpoints at 10:15, and The Food Show at 11. We'll hear a couple of announcements before we go to Sprouts Radio and our story about Los Seis.
Hi, I'm Shahid Hamid, and I want to invite you to a very special 8-hour Memorial Day Soul and Rhythm and Blues experience right here on KBOO 90.7 FM from 12 o'clock noon to 8 p.m. with JJ leading us off from 12 noon to 2 o'clock, followed by Sequoyna Wright from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m., followed by yours truly, Shahid, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m., and Reggae Bob taking us home from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., from the old to the new, just for you, a very special Memorial Day Soul and Rhythm and Blues experience. Monday, May the 26th, 12 noon to 8 p.m., right here on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, and online, www.kboo.fm radio.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Maeve Conran at KGNU in Boulder and Denver, Colorado. Today on Sprouts, we hear the story of Los Ses of Boulder.
I remember being afraid. It's one of the times in my life that I've been afraid.
A radio documentary produced by KGNU's Irene Rodriguez. 40 years ago, two car bombs exploded in Boulder, Colorado, killing six University of Colorado Chicano student activists. Mystery still surrounds the case, and no one has ever been indicted. Their deaths impacted the Chicano civil rights movement in Colorado and around the country. This is their story.